You can go to Luke chapter 4. We're going to look at some of our freedoms and liberties in Christ. And I was kind of looking at this, and then when Donnie shared his wonderful teaching last week, and we're kind of hitting the same verses in the same area, that I asked if I could share, because it was kind of like a part B to Donnie's part A, or his zig to my zag, or whatever that is. So in Luke chapter 4, we're going to see what Jesus Christ came to do. Before we start, the word free and liberty that we're going to run across a lot is in the same word family. They're very similar word, but biblically speaking, the definition free, to make free, set at liberty from sin. And then the liberty is to do or not do things, living as we should according to God's word, not as we please. So, and also when you get freed from something, you just don't get let go. You get let go to do something. Like, I don't know, you get out of jail, and unfortunately some people choose to do the same thing or a similar thing and land themselves back in jail. When they get set at liberty, then they do something, or they could do something different to change that. So it's, and it reminds me of Romans chapter 6, where it says, you know, do we continue in sin that grace may abound? So we get saved so we can continue in sin? Is that like the most ridiculous thing there is? No, we get saved for a reason, and we get set at liberty, and we have these freedoms for a reason. So in verse 16 of Luke 4, it says, and he, Jesus Christ, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue of the on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And when there was delivered unto him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the scroll, he found the place where it was written. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. So a lot of this is also is physical, but also Jesus Christ's grace concept was spiritual. He took sin upon him, and now we are, you know, all our sins are taken away. So, and that would spill over into the physical realm, but because some of the greatest bondage and captivity is without physical bars. You know, people have, you ever see the book of phobias, of fears? It's like, it's huge. And it's just like, oh my gosh, you know, and those are without bars, mentally, even physically. People who are physically blind or lame, it's great, but how about being spiritually bound or in bondage? That's even worse. So some of these things Jesus Christ came to do was not always in the physical realm, and mostly it wasn't, but it did spill over into that. And that last part of verse 18 there, it says, to set at liberty them that are bruised. It is noted in the journey through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that, and if I may read it, that particular part was parenthetical. Grammatically, they could tell that it wasn't a part of the other structure, but in Isaiah, where it came from, Isaiah 61, it is there. Okay, but here it's noted as being parenthetical, and if I may read this, it's a little ditty about this. It says, to set at liberty them that are bruised. In the middle of the citation from Isaiah 61, there is a parenthetical insertion. Jesus may have spoken these words of explanation to expound on what he was citing, or this may be a God-inspired narrative insertion intended to expound on what Jesus had cited. This parenthetical insertion brings to mind Isaiah 58:6, and 58 was also included in that prophecy. It started in like chapter 56 of Isaiah, where it says, thus saith the Lord, and then he read the part from 61, but 58 is all part of that. 58:6, it says, this is God talking, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loosen the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye, break every yoke. And the working translation has it says to send the broken or oppressed out free with forgiveness. So Jesus Christ came to do that. Let's go to part of what he was anointed to do. John chapter 8. Bouncing around a lot in the New Testament. See a little bit more of what Jesus Christ, John 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou you shall be made free? Just in a very brief, cursory recollection of the Old Testament, the children of Israel had that little 400-year thing with Egypt. Okay, they were captive then. Then the 70 years with Babylonian. And then when the Medes and the Persians took over the Babylonians, they were captive to them. And then currently, who are they captive to?
The Romans.
The Romans. So this, and it was religious leaders. They were, I guess, talking on a level, but they did not even address the issue, which is the next verse, verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. They were captive to the sin. Verse 35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. This free indeed is to be verily or truly free from restraint, being bound, obligation, or yoke, or sin, a free citizen. Okay, so, and then this exchange gets very contentious. And this is that exchange where Jesus Christ accused the Pharisees and Sadducees of being of their father, the devil. So this gets very heated. And let's go all the way down to 59 of this chapter. And it got so heated that in verse 59, then took they up stones to cast at him. They were going to stone him. They got so angry and so spiritually in the wrong way moved to do this. But Jesus had hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. We're going to jump right into 9:1. Ignore the chapter division. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest into him. Imagine that, being so locked in with God that you're basically running for your life, and then God says, hey, this guy's blind. You know, and this was actually one of the prophecies that would point out the Christ to heal a man who was born blind. Imagine that. And just having that mindset that even though he was in that situation, he goes, oh, there it is, and he didn't miss it. It's one of the things he didn't miss that he came to do that we can enjoy and learn from. And sometimes it's not spiritual. Sometimes, you know, the man didn't sin, nothing happened. It's just like stuff happens. Now that we're in this fallen world, this broken world, remember after Adam sinned, you know, thorns and thistles grew up and all this. So the earth was changing. And since then, there's been, you know, imperfection in the world. And sometimes it just happens. But God can reverse all that. God can set people free from any bondage. Okay, Matthew chapter 10. Verse 1. Verse 1. And when he, Jesus Christ, had called him, the 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease. Imagine that. Jesus Christ gave him power to do that. Okay, we're going to jump down to verse 5. These twelve Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not unto the ways of the nations, or unto the mixed multitude of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Yeah. Was this before or after the day of Pentecost?
Before.
They were to, as they freely have received, they were to freely give it. And remind, I think Donnie, you read this last week. But also, Donnie also mentioned John chapter 14, 12. Says, Verily, verily, these things that I do, you shall do also. And greater things that I, when I go to my Father, then I go to my Father. He went to his Father. That was the hard part. This should be the easier part for mankind, for us. And so it's already been done for us, and we can. And similarly, as we have freely received, we are to freely give. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to kind of jump into the middle of this. Paul is talking about the, as we'll see, the Old Testament, how believers of the Jewish people that believed on Christ were still had a problem with the law. Verse 7. 2 Corinthians 3, 7 to 9. And it says, But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away with? How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? And that's that word of melon, which is a greater importance. Now, God instituted the law, but it was to be fulfilled and done away with. And if that was glorious, how much greater is the administration of the Spirit? And may I say, if it's God set up the Old Testament, now I think you can include any kind of doctrine or thinking of man to make themselves righteous would probably go under that, even behind the Old Testament. God set up the Old Testament, okay? Man sets up his own thing, so anything that man could come with could not come close to what God did. But if God said, this is glorious, but it's being done away with, being fulfilled, and a greater thing's coming, then any of that other stuff should also be considered to be done away with. Verse 9, For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Okay, we're going to go to verse 14. And it says, But their minds were blinded. Okay, people who have that thinking still of that the Old Testament, and unfortunately it still goes on today, their minds are blinded. For until this day, even when it was being written, remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is to be done away with in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it, what's the it it's talking about here? It's the heart. Okay, it says, upon, you know, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when a heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Mm-hmm. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what?
Liberty.
There is liberty. Yes, there is. So any of those other restricting, bondage, binding, constricting things can be done away with when a heart turns to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then there is freedom. Verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed unto the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The glory they're talking about was the glory of the Old Testament. And although this fleshly, what did Gennaro call it? A bowling up of dust, you know, this earthen vessel does has glory. It has great, but it's, but that's to be done away with. And then in the return of Christ, there's going to be a new glory. But we don't look in the mirror and see the Word and what we are. We look in the mirror to see that new man in us, that Christ within us that made us that glorious, okay? Because this is what, you know, the old man perishes, but the new man, you know, day by day, but the new man is renewed. This, day by day, maybe not getting so glorious, but Christ in us is, and at the return, it's going to be very glorious. It's going to be great. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 14 of Hebrews 2. It says, "Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he," talk about Jesus Christ, "also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." Bless you. "And delivering them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." We've been freed from that. We've been delivered. We've been rescued from that. And we know that, and that word destroy is actually paralyzed, because we know, unfortunately, loved ones, and you know, do fall asleep currently. But this life is temporal, and this death is also, for born-again ones, is temporal as well, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ came in the flesh, but he paralyzed that. So, and he came back, and it's all been settled, but when he comes back and we all get changed, eternal life, as opposed to eternal death without the Spirit. Those are, and even though, you know, we have that hope in us today, but it's a given reality. We are delivered from that. We are freed from that. Colossians chapter 1. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or adequate to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints of light, in light, who hath delivered or rescued us from the exercised power of darkness, and hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness, the through his blood is not in the Greek text, so it's in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. We've been rescued, we've been saved out of the exercised power of darkness, and we've been set free in the kingdom of God. So we've been rescued from that, we've been delivered from that, and we are free citizens of heaven. We are in the kingdom of God. And go to 21 and 22. "And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled," brought back together, "in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, unblameable, or without blemish, and unreprovable, or unimpeachable in his sight." Imagine that. We're dead in trespasses and sins, but through Christ we are now holy, a few of many things, without blemish, and unreprovable in his sight. Look at that. And we have that freedom now. We could go to God. We've been free, right? Hebrews 4:12, you know, we could boldly go to this room because we are holy, without blemish, and unreprovable. Even if someone brings an accusation against you, and it's going to be the devil, the accuser, the tempter, the accuser, and then he's, you know, "Oh, look, he sinned." No. We are unimpeachable in Christ. We are free from that. We can freely walk as free citizens in the heaven and do things for God. You know, speak his word, not delivering people, preaching the kingdom of God, you know, deliverance. We are free to do that. And we are without spot or blemish. Galatians chapter 2. And if this was a play, the lights would dim and then the music would get ominous. It's going to change here a little bit. Unfortunately, some people who do not, their hearts do not turn towards God. Will we start 1 of Galatians 2? Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles and privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in to privately spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ, and what would that do? That they might bring us into bondage. So there was false brethren. These people just could not, the situation could not let go of the law. And it got so pervasive that even read it, you know, this is that record where a little bit later where Paul has to confront Peter. And then Barnabas gets swept in the, you know, the dissimulation. So it's very pervasive and we need to watch and guard that. But anything out of Christ and, you know, these false brethren could bring us back to bondage. It's like, you know, that saying, you know, the pig going back to the mud or the dog going to the, it's like, you know, we continue in sin, that grace may be. It just doesn't make sense. We're free citizens. We've been delivered from that. And we are free to do God's will and not be ashamed of it. And just brush that stuff aside. Just, you know, just don't fall into that trap. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 15. Okay. For so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, thank you, but as servants of God. Unfortunately, there are people that will use their freedoms in Christ or their liberties or as a cloak. You know, it's reminds me of that Harry Potter thing where they had the cloak of invisibility, you know. It's a covering. It's a covering, and they were doing things with malicious intent. It was like intended. Stuff they intended to do out of an evil heart. And how sad is that? That goes on, you know. Unfortunately, it does go on. We know, like, I guess, TV preachers, some of them, you know, send money. You know, it's like, you know, what? Anyway, but something more to be aware of. And what was that, 16? Yes. But we're the servants of God. We're free to serve God and not get caught up in that. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Okay. In the play, the lights get brighter and the music changes. He's happy now. Romans 8:15. Actually, Donnie read many of these verses that I'm going. But here we go. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Again, so not that the spirit here is talking about the spirit of man. Now, when did this kind of like the spirit of man became a real prominent thing? Back in Genesis when Adam disobeyed God, and it you know, in that day that actually dies, the spirit gets taken away, dies. And this is when fear first pops up. Because remember, he hid himself. You know, God's voice is walking through the garden. You know, the cool of the day. You know, Adam, where are you? And he goes, where have you been? He goes, I hid myself because I was afraid. And then the guy goes, oh boy, what did you do? You know, so we didn't, this is not the spirit that we have gotten. It's not a manifestation of our old man nature, that we need to put off, that we need to let go. We got the Spirit of God. We're liberty. We're freedom. I know there's laws we live in. I'm talking about spiritually, you know. Okay, so there we go. For you have received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of, and that should be sonship. You weren't adopted. We got seed. We're sons and daughters of God by seed. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And if you remember, that working relationship between Adam and God was pretty cool. God goes, hey, what do you want to call this? He goes, an elephant? He goes, okay. You know, they had a great working relationship. They were great. And they weren't even sons, you know, and fathers situation, you know. But now we are sons of God. We're not servants like Israel. We are sons and daughters. We are, what, you know, what kind of freedoms do your children have more than somebody who aren't your children? Okay? And with God, the source of unlimited resources, it's like, oh my gosh, how great can it be? Verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. That's right, we're going to be glorified together in that eternal life. It's going to be quite some great freedoms there. And I want to jump down to verse 21. Because the creature, or that should be creation, because the creation itself also shall be delivered or rescued from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. Remember I mentioned, you know, when Adam disobeyed, that the, you know, thorns and thistles. So the creation got not how God wanted it. But when we get, you know, when we get that final deliverance, that final glory, even the creation itself is going to be changed. It's going to be rescued. So, and it's, it's, even that's going to change. And it's unto the glorious liberty. If we got freedoms now in Christ, we're going to have some really wonderful freedoms later on, for sure. And in Galatians chapter 5, to close, so we have some great freedoms and we're at liberty to do a great many things. Galatians 5, verse 1. We are to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty and the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with that yoke of bondage. We got it. We just stand. It's that, and that stand fast is to stay put, be persistent. It's not just a one and done, or it's not a passive thing. We know we have to renew our minds every moment of every day, just about. Okay, and in verse 13, the same book, that chapter, says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh, but by love we serve one another. And the occasion to the flesh is not talking about this, it's the old man nature. We don't just take care, you know, we're not occasion to the flesh. And we don't want to continue in sin that grace may abound, right? That's not what we have the liberty for, but by the liberty we are to love one another. We serve them. And we serve, you know, we serve God, and we serve especially each other in the household of God, but especially there's whosoever's out there that need to be freed. Liberty needs to happen. And unfortunately, you turn on the TV and you just can't get away from it, but it's just, and it seems to be going the wrong way, but we have the liberty to speak and the freedoms to do that, and we ourselves have been set free, and we are to be careful and watch for that.